Good morning. Nice to have you all here. Case number one is Appeal 111211, Irish versus BNSF Railway Company. Mr. Laufenberg.
Yes, Your Honor. Good morning. May it please the Court. My name is Lynn Laufenberg. I represent the plaintiff's appellants on this appeal. This appeal presents a question of law, and that is, did the Wisconsin legislature intend to immunize railroads from the consequences of failing to perform routine maintenance, which would permit the free flow of water under its railroad trestles, when the legislature passed Section 88.87 of the Wisconsin statutes in 1963?
Now, as I understand Judge Crabb's opinion, below, the only developed argument you made against the application of Section 88.7 was that it only applied to government entities and those affiliated with such entities and not to railroad companies like BNSF. So didn't you forfeit the argument you're making now as to whether 88.7 reaches the maintenance as well as the construction of the railroad grades?
Thank you, Your Honor. With respect, I believe that the initial arguments, as pointed out in our reply brief in response to this contention by the defendants, appellees in this case, was that we did in fact argue from the beginning that that statute should have no. In fact, our memorandum opposing the initial motion to dismiss, as we reference at page one of our reply brief, the plain language.
So
of
Judge Crabb is just off the wall?
No, she's certainly not off the wall. I will concede that the argument could have been more articulately made, but I'm not aware of a principle of law that requires the party challenging the application of a statute to make the argument as articulately as possible. It would have been preferred to do so. I'm not aware of a principle of waiver.
Where will we find it? Where will we find that argument?
That argument specifically is not in the briefing to the district court. The argument that I make, that we make in our appellate brief, that the statute has application only to those situations creating a continuing nuisance, rather than to those situations which result.
You can't suddenly have a whole new theory when you come up here. You know that. You're very experienced.
Thank you. Yes, I understand the court's position on that issue.
Okay.
Would you like me to proceed, Your Honor?
Of course. I'm sorry.
Thank you very much. The construction of the statute rendered by Judge Crabb, in reliance on the Pruem case below, would effectively eliminate any remedy to the plaintiffs in this case, but because the only remedy available under the statute would be inverse condemnation, and as pointed out in our briefing, inverse condemnation is not a remedy that is available for property owners who have suffered passing damage to their property. The damage must result in an effective taking of the property, and we cite the Colbeck case for that proposition.
Yeah, well, Pruem involved flooding that resulted from both faulty construction and maintenance, and the court held the damage claims from that flooding were entirely foreclosed by 88.7, and as far as I can tell, no subsequent court has disagreed with Pruem.
The precise issue of whether damages resulting solely from lack of maintenance rather than faulty construction was not presented to the court in Pruem and has not been presented for decision by any other appellate court in Wisconsin since that date. I point out in our reply brief that at page 243 of the Northwest citation to the Pruem decision, the plaintiff in that case was alleging that the construction and maintenance continued to cause erosion to his property, which the plaintiff, quote, identified as a continuing nuisance and sought to recover the costs caused by him in hiring a private contractor to repair the area. The point, Your Honor, is I don't think the plaintiff in that case was in the same position as the plaintiffs in this case, who are alleging that it is the failure of maintenance, routine maintenance, to keep debris from that has accumulated under the trestle free so that water can flow as it was intended, thereby avoiding flooding.
But the plaintiffs in Prune, as I said, sought damages under a common law nuisance theory for both faulty construction and maintenance of the highway. So I'm just not quite getting.
That is true. The complaint alleged and the arguments on appeal were that it was both construction and maintenance. But I think the primary focus of the appellant's argument in that case was that the statute could not foreclose common law damages claims generally and didn't focus on the distinction that we are making here. And that is that where the statute makes sense in the context of faulty construction, mm-hmm. when you are creating a problem that is going to have continuing long-term effects, repeated effects, and the legislature, as the Prune Court correctly pointed out, wanted to avoid the repeated lawsuits that would result from recurrent damage resulting from faulty construction, whereas in this case, the problem isn't recurrent if the railroad simply takes routine maintenance steps and removes the obstructions that will accumulate under natural circumstances in the trestle, permitting the flooding to back up onto the adjacent properties. So we don't think it could have been the legislature's intent to leave plaintiffs in the positions, leave property owners in the positions of the plaintiffs here to an inverse condemnation remedy when it is clear in the case law and was clear at the time the statute was passed that inverse condemnation cannot apply for damage unless it's a virtual and total taking of the property such that there is no ability to ever enjoy its use again. In this situation, the plaintiffs allege that they incurred substantial damage to their personal and real property. They allege that there was a loss of use and enjoyment during the period of time that the floodwaters affected their property. They allege that they experienced and incurred damages in the expenses of cleanup and that they had annoyance and inconvenience damages under Wisconsin nuisance law, which are recoverable under the common law of Wisconsin. As we point out in our briefing, the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which, as we note, has never addressed this issue specifically, has said that if the legislature intends to eliminate a common law right of action, then it must do so expressly. And the position that we advance today is that the legislature did not expressly intend to eliminate the common law right of damages that result from negligence and nuisance in the maintenance of roadways and railways, which effectively cause damages to the adjacent property.
Well, of course, there's been no split in the lower court holdings in the more than 19 years that Prune's been the law. We would have to overrule Prune.
To
accept your argument.
I don't think so. I think the court can distinguish Prune because Prune dealt with the precise argument being presented here was not made in the Prune decision. This court has to predict what the Wisconsin Supreme Court would hold if faced with this particular situation.
I just cannot understand. I wish I could. I really wish I could understand your argument. But under the circumstances, I'm having a terrible time because, once again, we're talking about both faulty construction and faulty maintenance of highways. I'm sorry.
The unreported decisions, there have been no reported decisions. I want to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Thornton.
Morning. Tim Thornton from BNSF Railway Company. Joanna, you've pretty much made my arguments for me.
Okay, sit down. No.
But I think the starting point is, and they've now conceded that they never made this distinction between maintenance and construction in the court below. Under those circumstances, under the Cosell versus Miller case, a 2000 decision by this court, those arguments can't be raised for the first time on appeal. You don't even need to get to their arguments that make no sense. But if we look at the facts of this case very briefly, this was an unprecedented rainfall. It's beyond a 100-year storm, beyond any kind of storm. And Wisconsin statute section 8887 affords for two causes of action, neither one of which they make. In fact, they specifically reject making those claims. And it looks like there's a distraction.
That's okay.
Okay. They reject making those claims and stress that they are making damages claims. And they want to ignore the Pruem case. But, of course, the starting point is the KS Pharmacy decision by this court against American Home Products says that when you're interpreting a state statute, you use the same maxims of statutory interpretations that the state courts would. And Wisconsin courts are very clear, the Lake City Corporation versus City of Minocqua, the Madison Teachers decision, the Hillman versus Columbia County decision, all say that you take and look at the plain and ordinary meaning of the statute. And if we look at the statute 8887, it starts with that the Wisconsin legislature wants to regulate the construction and drainage. And drainage is an ongoing thing. It's not that continues after the initial construction. And in the applicable provision, section 2, it at least three times mentions construction and maintenance. And when you get to the remedy provision, that's subsection C, it says if a city, village, town, county, or railroad company or the Department of Transportation constructs and maintains a highway or railroad grade not in accordance with paragraph A. Now, if maintains means what they says it means, that the authority over, this sentence would make no sense. You couldn't have authority over something not in accordance with subsection A, because subsection A talks about drainage and construction. The case that they want to sort of stay on is this Stockton versus Township Town of Rutland case. But importantly, that decision didn't involve the adjacent property owner. It involved personal injury claims that weren't covered by the statute, and it involved a statute that didn't exist, that no longer exists. And the court found a common law remedy that was independent of the statute because the statute didn't really reach there. And they want to rely on the Esther Distributing Company versus Seidel to get around the effects of the repeal of the statute and the replacement by 8887. But, of course, that statute talks about the legislative intent, or that case talks about the legislative intent being clear. Well, the legislative intent couldn't have been any clearer. The statute specifically says that damages are not available. It allows for two remedies, and it precludes by its express terms damages. That's in contrast to the Esther case, where the legislature said that this statute, this remedy, was in addition to the common law, and no common law right or remedy was abrogated. The Pruem case just cannot be gotten around. Pruem made very clear that what the legislature wanted to accomplish by the statute was to control and regulate the protection afforded to adjacent property owners. And it controlled and regulated the protection afforded by authorizing two causes of action, one for inverse condemnation and the second for equitable relief. And again, I'm repeating myself, but it said, but not damages. That's exactly what they're seeking in this case, is damages. And since Prune was decided back in 1992, there's been no case that's departed from that holding.
And so the bottom line is the statute is clear. There's no reason to go behind the legislative intent, and there's been no change in the law. That's the bottom line.
You got it, Judge.
All right.
Thank you.
I think I don't need to say any more.
Probably not.
I had respectfully reserved time to address the preemption arguments that counsel had made in their brief. Those arguments were not presented during oral arguments, so I will not address them. I will only reiterate that in response to the waiver issue, that while the arguments were not articulated as specifically as they have been in our briefs on this appeal, we did point out.
Were they articulated at all is the bottom line question.
Yes. I think in the motion to dismiss that was filed with the district court, a memorandum in support of the motion to dismiss at the record number 72, pages 19 to 20, and with the court's indulgence, I'll quote, however, the plain language of the statute clearly sets up a claim procedure and remedy limitation for new constructions that affect waterways.
And where is the argument that follows that one sentence?
It says this statute was never intended to apply to a railroad's company's failure to maintain a waterway that, one, has nothing to do with its track and roadbed, and, two, has not had a new construction in over 80 years. No new construction exists. And that is essentially the argument that has been articulated perhaps better in our briefs on this before this court than before the district court, that the statute was not intended to apply to those conditions that cause flooding resulting from failure of maintenance rather than faulty construction. Because the statute says on its face, as we point out in the briefing, that faulty construction is the matter of concern, because the legislature recognizes that once you put faulty construction in place, you are going to have the potential for recurrent problems, which will result, or under the common law, could result in repeated lawsuits for the same condition. And it was the legislature's intent to avoid those situations by limiting those property owners' rights to that of inverse condemnation or equitable relief. The legislature could not have reasonably intended, in our view, to foreclose common law damage and nuisance claims which arise from a failure of routine maintenance. To hold that to that effect, when those property owners don't have a right to inverse condemnation under the law, would effectively immunize railroads from faulty and failure of maintenance, and would in fact encourage railroads not to do any maintenance because they don't have a reason to be concerned about being held accountable for the consequences. And that is not I expect that the Wisconsin legislature had more respect for the rights of property owners than that. There's a legitimate concern about recurrent lawsuits that result from conditions created by faulty construction. We acknowledge the legislature made a policy decision to foreclose those and give an alternative remedy or limited remedy, but there was nothing in the legislative history that suggested that the legislature was concerned about those lawsuits that were resulting from failure to perform routine maintenance, which is the essential allegation in this case. Thank you.
The case will be taken under advisement. Thanks to both counsel. Mr. Thornton, the marshal has your bag.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. You know, we're...